here's what we're going to look at this morning. Paul's passion for the gospel, God's mystery of the gospel, and then our confidence. What ought to be our confidence in the scripture or in the gospel? Number one, Paul's passion for the gospel. If you noticed when we read these 11 verses, Paul seems to be getting very personal with these people. He's very personal and very passionate about this gospel. In these 11 verses, maybe you picked up on it. He uses what we call the first person pronoun, the I and the we, 16 times. That's a lot. Just read again quickly verses 24 and 25 and notice the I's and the we's. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Verse 25, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given for me, for you, to make the word of God fully known. And throughout this whole passage, he seems to be saying these things. What Paul is saying to these people is, I want you to know how thoroughly invested I am in your lives by my ministry of the gospel. I want you to know how passionate I am for this message that I have brought to you, and how awesome and wonderful it is, and on we could go. It's kind of like a parent maybe who maybe their child is starting to drift away from the moorings of the home or drift away from the thinking and teaching of the home. And you might as a parent say one day, sit that child down and say, son, don't ever forget how much time and effort and sweat and tears we have put into your life. I mean, from day one, we have provided for you. We have given you food to eat. We've given you a bed to sleep in, a home to live in. We have showered love upon you, and on they could go. So think hard if you're toying around with walking away. And again, that is, seems to be what Paul is telling these people. We can see pieces of his passion as we look at these verses that we read. Verse 24, he speaks of the sufferings, the afflictions that he has endured. We see in verse 25 where he became a minister to the stewardship from God. This word stewardship is an interesting word. It means something that was given to him from God as a heavy responsibility, a weighty task that would certainly consume his heart. Verse 28, he talks about the fact that he has proclaimed the gospel. He is warning everyone, teaching everyone. In verse 29, he uses the word toil and says he is struggling with all this energy that he powerfully works within me. Even in chapter 2, verse 1, he once again brings up the word struggle. I struggle for you people. We could read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, but we won't take the time to do that, where Paul goes on a very lengthy treatise about all of the turmoil and struggles and pain and suffering he has gone through for the gospel. I don't think Paul is just boasting. I think he is saying to this church, and also saying to us, don't forget the motivation for all this suffering and toil that I have gone through. Don't forget, I encountered the risen Christ. On the road to Damascus, Christ revealed himself to me. Christ spoke to me. Christ gave me this mission face to face. Christ taught me. I understand, perhaps more than any man, that the gospel of Christ is the real deal. The gospel of Christ is what we all need. And I am thoroughly invested in your lives by my ministry in the gospel. So don't fall for deceitful tricks. We're going to look next week a great deal at that principle. Don't fall for nice sounding words and philosophies. I am pleading you, pleading with you as one who knows the risen Christ. There's a lot that's been said this week about what a person is saying when they turn their back on the flag of the United States of America. And the biggest complaint that I've heard is that these people, in essence, are turning their back on the ones who did give of their blood, in many cases, of their sweat and of their tears. The men and women who gave us the very things to even be able to protest and be concerned about our country. So don't turn your back on the ones who worked so hard to bring this to you. Well, secondly, God's mystery of the gospel. Paul is a walking heart of passion. That's what he's trying to get across. Now he explains a little bit about the importance of God's mystery of the gospel, or that is God's mystery, comma, the gospel, we could say. If you notice, the word mystery appears three times in these verses, and in the middle part of this section, it's the major theme that Paul is wanting to convey. The first clue to a mystery is in chapter 1, verse 25. I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, that heavy responsibility that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The mystery, hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. Evidently, there's something here about Paul's message and ministry that was hidden throughout the whole Old Testament and is now being fully and completely revealed. He calls it a mystery. I love a good mystery. Particularly, I love a good mystery-type riddle, okay? Not the real simple riddles like what's red and white and blue all over. No. That's red. How does that even go? See, I've forgotten it already. Those simple childlike ones. I love a good riddle that takes some good logic to solve. And if you do too, I've got one for you. So you see me after the service, I will give you my famous riddle that no one has ever solved at first. And it's really not that hard. He's not speaking here of a puzzle or a riddle that's to be solved. He's not speaking of some fullness of knowledge like the Gnostics of his day. The heretics were saying that the fullness of knowledge was only possible through some kind of a mystical experience. He's not speaking, as again the Gnostics did, of some secret teaching that only an exclusive group of people would be able to understand or know. He is, I think, kind of using a play on words here with that word mystery. And he's saying, I have a mystery. I have a mystery that's a better mystery because it's been revealed. And it's being revealed to you, as Paul said way back in verse 25. It is making the word of God more fully known. The mystery of the gospel is that truth which was hidden by God until it was boldly and publicly revealed in the incarnation of Jesus Christ and with the death and resurrection of Jesus. You know, we often think, well, how is it that all these people in the Old Testament didn't know all that stuff? Well, I'll tell you what. It was hidden. He summarizes the mystery in verse 27. Even though there is no verse 27. Oops, here we go. Turn the page. He summarizes the mystery in verse 27, where he says that mystery is Christ in you. as your Savior, as your Lord, as the one that you have called upon for your eternal life, and you've trusted in the death and the resurrection of Jesus for your sins, then Christ is in you. And as the song we learned this morning, He is the hope of glory. Christ Himself brings that hope to us by dwelling in us. And then we read in, say, chapter 2 and verse 5. For though I am absent Boy, I'm really sorry. I must have had a major typo there. One of these many verses, and Paul got me all tangled up, I guess. There is a verse which just clearly says the mystery is in verse 2. Okay, there it is. Chapter 2, verse 2. Last part of the verse, the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, okay? So, Christ is in you. That's a part of the mystery. And then he goes on to say, verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So, Christ is in you, and you are in Christ, who is also the fullness of everything. Particularly the Gentiles. He's speaking here to the Gentiles. This was unknown. He elaborates it more fully in Ephesians 3. I'm going to put this paragraph up here for me to read real quickly. Ephesians chapter 3. First half of this chapter has some amazing truths here. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, in behalf of you to the Gentiles, assuming you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, there's that old word stewardship again. How the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of man in other generations, as it has now been revealed in His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring light for everyone. What is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God? Well, we'll stop there. The fact of the matter is, this mystery is, of course, the gospel in Christ. But adding to that, the fact that even Gentiles now can participate. This was amazing news. Paul here is, well, I had an old seminary professor that said to us once, guys, when you go to preach, if you want your people to bleed, you're going to have to hemorrhage. And I think that's what Paul's doing here in this passage. He is hemorrhaging. He is just bleeding from his heart with his passion all over the place for the gospel. Real quickly then, our confidence in the gospel. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. And here's that note of confidence: to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. I love that phrase. Paul's desire is that these people would reach full confidence in the gospel, to reach all the riches of full assurance and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Now, please understand, full assurance is not full salvation. You have full salvation the moment you see Christ and you understand that He died on the cross for your sins, and you put your faith and trust in that finished work on Calvary for your salvation, and you confess that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you are saved. Full salvation. Black and white. But then there comes, hopefully, a time where you have full assurance. You are so full of understanding and confidence in the Lord and confidence in the gospel that you are, as he says, full of those riches that come in your heart and soul. Riches when you have that full understanding. That's why Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 makes so much sense. It's so practical, and I will close with this. I told you at the beginning we're going to kind of have a sequel next Sunday to this passage in some very practical terms. We're going to name some very specific things next Sunday that are very important for you to guard against. But I think this morning we'll just end with this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. It'd be nice if Colossians and Ephesians were together as one book. That would be an amazing thing. So many of the same thoughts, but little different nuances and twists that add to it. But I've always loved Ephesians 3:14 and following, this prayer of Paul. And I think I can see the importance of it more and more, because this prayer is searching for the riches of full assurance. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. There's the start. And then that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints the breadth. This is growing maturity, the growing maturity that Paul is speaking of in Colossians. The breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. The same promise that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The riches of full assurance. It's great to be saved. It's great to know Jesus as your Savior. It's great to be trusting in Him and in the cross. But how much better it is to have that full assurance and all of the rich blessings that come with understanding and believing and trusting in that. Father, we thank you for the passion of Paul that we see in this scriptural passage. And Lord, help us not to just blow it off as an apostle who certainly would have passion. Lord, he wants us all to have that passion and that surety, the riches of this full assurance of Christ, the mystery that has been revealed that is beyond belief. Lord, may we continue to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.